The Football Pod.
Who are you blaming, yourself or the man?
Blame names, Paddy. This is the time. This is the chance.
It's a black book in there.
The Football Pod. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Rugby Daily on Off The Ball with Dove Men Plus Care. Upgrade to Dove Men Advanced Deodorant and Body Wash. Let the confidence last.
Welcome to Thursday's Bumper Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Gary Ringrose is set for his first involvement in this year's Six Nations as Andy Farrell shows his hand for the Scotland showdown. The Scots give a first start to a Glasgow centre in Saturday's game and hopes remain that Antoine Frisch could still be an Ireland international someday. First up today, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has decided to keep faith with the 15 that lost to Twickenham last week. He has named an unchanged side to start Saturday's Six Nations decider with Scotland. That means Calvin Nash is past fit. Despite departing Twickenham for a HIA last week, he retains his place on the wing. Any alterations are confined to the bench, where Farrell has reverted to a 5-3 split. That means a first involvement this year for Gary Ringrose. Also included as Jack Crowley's understudy is Harry Byrne, with Kieran Frawley not involved this week. There's also no Ian Henderson, so Ryan Baird retains his place among the subs, and Farrell has been explaining just how Nash was past fit.
If you're in a circle and you understand the process that these players have to go through now, you thoroughly back that process. He's gone through with flying colours, and he never looked like failing it for one second. And two, the process I think is very sound. Accumulating a few days of getting to the next stage, passing them flying colours, and having a conversation, an interview, a wellness type appointment with an independent doctor today. And there's been no issues there, so all's good to go.
The head coach also said the group had to be good at blocking out external noise this week following the social media abuse that came in the wake of the England defeat.
It has, and everyone would be lying if they said that they hadn't, but you know, I suppose that's been the way of the world for some time now, actually, hasn't it, really, in regards to social media, etc. We've battened down the hatches, really, as far as our concentration on what we need to do to improve our performance and make sure that we're the best of ourselves. And come Tuesday afternoon after the training session, and then a big session on Wednesday as well, seems to be that the focus is right where it should be.
So Ireland will have Hugo Keenan at full back, Calvin Nash on the right wing, James Lowe on the left. Robbie Henshaw and Bundiaki are the centre partnership. Jack Crowley continues at out half. Jameson Gibson-Park is at the scrum half. It's a front row of Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan, Tyke Furlong, Joe McCarthy and Tyke Byrne are in the second row. Peter O'Mahony starts at blindside flanker, Josh van der Fleer on the open, and Caelan Doris starts at number 8. Ireland's replacements will be Ronan Kelleher, Cian Healy, Finlay Beelan, Ryan Baird, Jack Conan, and covering the backs, Conor Murray, Harry Byrne and Gary Ringrose. For their part, Scotland make two changes as they look to spoil Ireland's party at the Aviva. Glasgow centre Stafford McDowell makes his first Six Nations start, having debuted in the summer against Italy. He replaces Cameron Redpath, who drops to the bench. Gregor Townsend's other change is at scrum half, where Ben White returns and George Horn drops to the bench. The Scotland head coach explained his switch at inside centre.
Yeah, we feel Stafford's earned an opportunity with how he's played this year for Glasgow and played during the Six Nations for Glasgow, and also how he's trained. And with Cam going well off the bench for us earlier this season, we know he can still make that impact, but we feel it's a really good game for Staff to start for us.
And Townsend knows huge improvements are required following last week's shock defeat in Rome.
Yeah, it was a determination to be better. It's always tough when you go through a loss for your country, and it's tough to go through the reviews, but the players have been very much in line, aligned with how we can improve and where we need to improve. And there's no better challenge than playing Ireland away to get back and show who we are. We showed the best parts of ourselves during this championship at times, and a lot of times, but we've also let our concentration slip. And if we do that the weekend, we're not going to come away with a win. We know that. So this weekend is a real challenge for us, but a challenge to show who we are.
Rugby Daily on Off The Ball with Dove Men Plus Care. Upgrades to Dove Men 72-hour advanced deodorants, tough on sweat, not on skin. Andy Farrell isn't the only head coach opting against tinkering this weekend. Fabien Galthiaert has named the same 15 that started against Wales for their finale with England in Lyon. That means Nolan Le Garec keeps his place ahead of Maxime Lucu at scrum half. So France will line out with Léo Barré at full back. Damien Penaud is on the right wing. Louis Bielbiri is on the left. Gaël Ficou and Nicolas Deportaire are in the centre. Thomas Ramos and Nolan Le Garec are the halfbacks. It's a front row of Cyril Baye, Julien Marchand and Winnie Antonio. Thibaut Flamand and Emmanuel Meafu continue their second row partnership. Francois Croix is named a blindside flanker. Charles Olivon on the open. And the captain once again is Gregory Aldrete at number 8. One of the many players released by Galtier last night was Antoine Frisch. The Munster centre would have become a non-Irish qualified player had he won his first cap against England on Saturday. Such a scenario would have set the clock ticking surely on his time at Munster. However, Frisch's release by Galtier means the 27-year-old could still represent the country of his grandmother. Back to Saturday's game in Lyon, and England have made just one enforced change, and that's on the left wing, where Elliot Daly replaces the injured Emmanuel Faye-Wobosso. The solitary change means Marcus Smith must again content himself with a place on the bench. Manu Tuilagi is in the squad for the first time since last year's World Cup. So England have George Furbank continuing at full back. Tommy Freeman and Elliot Daly are their wingers. Henry Slade and Ollie Lawrence in the centre. George Ford keeps his place at fly half. Alex Mitchell is at scrum half. It's a front row of Ellis Genge, Jamie George and Dan Cole. Maro Itoje and George Martin are England's second row partnership. Ollie Chesham continues at blindside flanker. Sam Underhill on the open. And Ben Earl is named at number 8. Italy are without Ange Capuozzo for Saturday's wooden spoon decider with Wales. He's replaced at full-back by Lorenzo Pani. Try-scorer against Scotland last week, Stephen Varney, starts at scrum half with Martin Pajarello dropping to the bench. The Azzurri's back row is back to full strength with Lorenzo Cannone named at number 8. So that Italy team has Lorenzo Pani at full-back, the wings manned by Louis Leina and Monti Ione. Ignacio Brex and Tommaso Menoncello are in the centre. It's Paolo Garbisi continuing at standoff and Stephen Varney is named at scrum half. It's a front row of Danilo Fischetti, Giacomo Nicotera and Simone Ferrari. Niccolò Cannone and Federico Ruzza are in the second row. Sebastian Negri starts at blindside flanker. Michele Lamaro is named on the open and Lorenzo Cannone is at number 8. Wales named their team for that game yesterday and it'll mark George North's final match as an international player. Head coach Warren Gatland was asked if he attempted to change the 31-year-old's mind.
I didn't really try stopping him. I completely understood his decision. He's going to France, taking the family with him. It's an opportunity for him to, you know, he just said that the difficulties probably with travelling backwards and forwards and being involved, he wants to give 100% if he was still involved in international rugby. So at the moment, you know, he's made that decision to focus on the family and playing in France. He's, you know, he did say he would have, if the opportunity was there, would have loved to stay in Wales, but he wasn't really given that opportunity. And so that's probably made his decision for him.
The Wales head coach insists they're not thinking about the wooden spoon, but he is relishing the task this weekend.
Oh, I love it. Just for me, it's a challenge, you know. It's kind of like, and I think David alluded to it right from the start. You know, you find out about people. You find out about people in weeks like this when you're under a little bit of pressure, how you respond to that pressure, who's going to put their hand up. Who's going to accept the responsibility? And you find out so much more about individuals when you're under pressure, and that's kind of where, you know, that's what international sport and professional sport's all about. It's the big moments, whether it's you're playing for Grand Slams or you're at the other end of the table, fighting for survival and fighting to make sure that you know, we get a win on the weekend.
Still learning about yourself?
Always, yeah. Never know anything about the game, still learning about the game. Still learning, still asking questions about things that you would do differently and how you'd prepare differently. And so if you think you know everything, then you're probably in the wrong thing, because things don't change, things keep moving on. And yeah, you know, we do a lot of comparisons about, say, for example, GPS numbers from the past comparing where we are now and teams that I've been involved with that have been successful. And, you know, a lot of the stats stick up really, really positively in terms of those sorts of things. So, yeah, making comparisons and looking at the game and the changes and how to trying to stay in front of those sort of changes and being proactive about those sorts of things.
Switching hemispheres, Razi Erasmus insists he pays little attention to who believes what team are the best in the world. The Springbok head coach was asked about comments made by former Wales captain Sam Warburton, who placed Ireland above the world champions. Ireland head to South Africa for a pair of tests in July, and Erasmus insists he'll be relying on experience as they look to extract a first win over Ireland since 2016.
Yeah, we did in 2018. We did a roadmap on the players, and we said, where will this guy be in 2019? Where will he be in 2023? Where will he be in 2027? So we know exactly which players we'll think can last another year, and we've given them specific tasks to help the youngsters and before they leave here and maybe reach their 100th test match or a milestone, because they are still good enough, and we certainly are not going to against Ireland, who's number two in the world and who we haven't beaten since 2016. And I think then the last score we got against them, or the first score when I started out as coach, was a 39-3, something like that. So we first want to rectify that. And they will probably still use some of those old dogs, you know, the guys who knows them well, who's played against them. And then we've got gradually a system where we think, okay, this papa is going to say goodbye now. He has to do family stuff. This guy is probably going to do X, Y, and Z. So it is a challenge, but the challenge is more so to tell the player he must actually stop now. I think that's really a tough one, because there's some guys who's in their 30s who just sees himself win another World Cup. And if they play well, I mean, Johnny Sexton was 39 or 38 when I fell out of the World Cup, but he was still playing there. But I don't foresee our age going much over average of 29-30.
Continuing the Springbok theme somewhat, and a member of their World Cup squad is heading home. The Sharks have continued their spending spree by confirming the signing of Andre Esterhuizen. The centre is coming to the end of a fourth season at Harlequins and has agreed a move to the Durban club. He'll link up with fellow New Sharks Jason Jenkins and Trevor Nyakane in the summer. And finally, Eddie Jones has some fanciful ideas regarding his second spell in charge of Japan. The former England and Wallabies head coach replaced Jamie Joseph formally in January after months of speculation. Jones told the Foreign Correspondents Club of Japan that there's no reason why the country can't muscle their way into the top four ranked teams in the world. For record, the Brave Blossoms currently sit 12th, but Jones is all about giving players agency during his second spell at the helm.
One of the things I've learned about Japanese players is that you've got to coach them as a whole, that you can't differentiate between the physical, the skill, the emotional and the psychology, that you've got to look at the player as a whole. And I think at the moment it's a little bit about they don't aim high enough. You know, whenever you've had success, you know, people like to get comfortable. We all like to get comfortable. We all want to have a nice life, be comfortable. You know, you look at World War II, after World War II in Japan, everyone worked hard. They wanted a new fridge. They wanted a new car. You know, they wanted a new colour television. Now you don't have to work that hard to get that. And it happens in rugby as well. Like, unless you're the All Blacks or possibly South Africa, which have this tradition of just striving to be your best all the time, people want to get comfortable, you know. And so Japan's really risen remarkably, haven't they? Like, you think about where Japan was to where they are now. They've done a fantastic job, Japanese rugby union. And so now we've got to make them a little bit more uncomfortable to reach higher, to work that little bit harder, and for young kids to understand that they can't just do what the coach tells them to do. They got to work out what they need. They got to be more self-directed, more take ownership of their careers. Because you think about in baseball, 30 years ago, a kid would have been dreaming. You know, kids playing. I saw Michael Leach on Sunday. He was playing hitting with his young son, right? And his young son, if he was there 30 years ago, he would have been dreaming of playing for the Giants or playing for the Buffaloes or playing for the Bay Stars. And now Japanese boys dreaming of playing for the Dodgers, playing for Red Sox now, because they can do it. And we need Japanese players to think like that, to want to be the best in the world, want to be the absolute best in the world.
That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feeds to keep this podcast coming to you Monday to Friday, free of charge. My name is Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Dove Men Plus Care, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.